You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my webpage at dr-history.com for over 440 true stories of the Old West. Also, now available on Amazon, my first book, a historical fiction based on true events entitled Coal Miner to Cowboy. The story of a young man born in England in 1850. He wants to be a cowboy and makes his way to America, travels from New Orleans to Independence on a steamboat, hires on as a teamster to Santa Fe, then on a cattle drive to Bozeman, Montana. He also rides shotgun on a stagecoach. He travels with a wagon train, and on his two-year journey, he meets some famous people and keeps a journal of his adventures. The book contains a lot of the true stories from my podcast and is now available on Amazon. Visit my webpage for a link to Amazon for the book, Coal Miner to Cowboy.
And now, as the red carpet has been unfurled and the microphone is on, Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb.
Hi, buddy. How you doing?
4 degrees out there. Cold.
Well, it's like I said earlier this morning, I called Tab Smith at Goose Pit Kennels, and he's going to be teaching Festus how to unlock the back door and let himself out in the morning. I'm not going out anymore.
I agree with you.
Woo!
Ooh, it is cold, but yeah. So,
have you got any thank yous from Mr. Budweiser Snoogelflooster or whatever his name is?
No, but I've actually sold over 30 books on Amazon.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I finished your book. I found it excellent. And I don't know, just the way I perceive the ending, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do I see a sequel?
You know, I left that door open.
You did, wide open.
So
when I read that, I said, watch out. Here comes another.
It could happen. That's I've already been thinking of a kind of a plot and some things. So we'll see.
Okay. I thought so. Yeah. Okay.
So I picked up this book in Jackson Hole when I was over there a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's called It Happened in Wyoming.
There you go.
And so not too far from where we're at. So it's events that kind of shaped the history over there in Wyoming. And this takes place in 1903. And I'm going to talk about – this is where you are a true expert on this.
Uh-oh.
Okay? I'm going to talk about a horse named Steamboat. They called him the Unrideable Horse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You've heard of Steamboat.
Oh, many, many times, yeah.
Yeah.
That's back in the Pete Knight era and back in there, the early cowboys. I'd say back in the 20s.
Well, even earlier than that.
Was it?
Yeah, 1903.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So here it was. It was going to be kind of an epic match. You had Steamboat, the Unrideable, and against world champion Bronc Buster Guy Holt.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, does that sound
familiar? I've read about the name.
Okay, so yep. Guy Holt.
Yep.
So just picture this. Here's Steamboat. He comes into this small dirt arena in the summer of 1903. The crowd is cheering in anticipation, and he's a beautiful – I just picture this horse. A beautiful, completely black, except for a few white tufts of hair at the bottom of his legs.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that just sound like an amazing animal?
Like that TV show when we were kids, Fury.
Yes.
Remember that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So had a large, full chest, a prominent head, and he just kind of strutted to a clear space in front of the grandstand. And can you just picture his ears just kind of flicking back and forth and his tail just swishing back and forth, just calm as could
just
be.
Just saying, bring it on, baby.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready for you. So he gets to his designated space, and he turns to the crowd and kind of whinnies, you know. And, well, there's hoops and hollers that come from the crowd, and many of them had come specifically to see this particular horse and rider because he was famous.
Right.
So the pickup man approached the black horse and just stood still, allowing the man to slip a bucking rein and a gunny sack blindfold over his head. At the same time, here comes Guy Holt. He walks into the arena, a blanket over his shoulder, a saddle bouncing against his hip. He was dressed in the typical cowboy attire. Of course, the big old wide-brimmed hat.
Oh, yeah. If they took off, they'd be like the Flying Nun.
Yeah. A bandana around his neck, long sleeve, button-up shirt.
Oh, yeah.
High-heel pointed boots, complete with spurs, and you've seen this, a white Angora chap.
Oh, yeah.
Chaps.
Oh,
covered his legs.
They were big in those days.
Yeah. But so he acknowledged the crowd as he made his way to the horse that he was about ready to go against. So Steamboat's ears, they kind of flattened. You know how they... That was always a warning, right? When those ears go back, flat against the head.
Yep.
Well, Holt slipped his trademark red and blue saddle blanket onto the horse's back. Steamboat planted his four hooves firmly in the ground, bending his knees and starting to squat just a little. His back arched a little. Holt threw his saddle bronc over the top of the horse and then cinched it on tight.
Yeah, right about there, I'm saying, does anybody want to try him first?
And I'm thinking, not me.
Oh, boy.
So here's the crowd. They're holding their breath. So Holt, he checks his spurs, tightened his bandana, brushed off the Angora chaps to prevent it from coming off during the ride. Pulled his hat down right around his head. All the while, Steamboat is just standing there, holding his position, barely moving.
Yeah.
Holt places his left foot in the stirrup and his knee against the side of Steamboat. The horse didn't move.
Mm-hmm.
Holt threw his right leg over the saddle, found the stirrup on the other side. He was ready. He's ready. Now, seeing the match was about to begin, Steamboat pointed his head to the ground, lowered even further. You know how they put their head down.
Well, I'll tell you what, from experience, I don't even like to recall this.
Okay.
It's scary.
So the pickup man looked at Holt, and as their eyes met, Holt gave him the nod, that just little nod, you know. The pickup man released the blindfold, and Steamboat sprang to life.
Oh, boy.
The crowd came alive as Steamboat exploded, shooting straight into the air, landed on his ramrod stiff legs that seemed as if they were made of steel, and a strong jolt swept up through Holt's spine. Just jarred the heck out of this poor guy.
It's like being on a teeter-totter and the other guy
jumps off. Yeah, so that's the beginning. Well, Steamboat went to the work of bucking. He zigzagged across the arena, Holt's body just flailing with every move. The cowboy tightened his grip and allowed his body to sway with every movement the horse made. They became kind of synced, kind of together. And you've seen that with riders, as if the man and the horse were one.
Absolutely.
And you've seen the great riders, I guess, how they just kind of feel like they're part of the animal.
In some cases, they almost make it look too easy.
Yeah, some of the really great riders. Yep. And you've seen a lot more than I have. But anyway, Steamboat jumped and he switched the position of his body in midair and coming down hard on stiff legs every time, which had to, again, be jarring the heck out of poor Holt. Cowboys, pitchmen, and handlers rushed for the fences as the horse came around the arena, and dirt flying in all directions. Well, Holt's hat flew off his head as Steamboat just kept gyrating and jumping and turning. Holt reached for the saddle just as Steamboat arched his back and prepared for yet another launch. When the horse came down, Holt began to lift from the saddle.
Mm-hmm.
He took hold of the horn
just
as Steamboat slammed back onto the ground. The impact caused Holt's nose to bleed.
Uh-huh.
So that had to be pretty hard. The crowd jumped to its feet, whooping and hollering. Some cheered for Holt while others cheered for Steamboat.
Sure.
And as the horse started another round of bucking, he let out this high, shrill whistle that had given the horse his name. And I'll explain that to you in a little bit, why they called him Steamboat.
Yep.
Steamboat headed back to the grandstand at the far side of the arena. He made a mighty leap. He seemed like half his body twisted one way and the other a completely different direction. The move was more than Holt could take. His hand slipped off the saddle horn and he landed hard on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So rid of his rider, Steamboat just continued to buck until the pickup man was able to release Holt's saddle. And almost immediately after it was off, Steamboat just kind of pranced to the grandstand. in, and I was just kind of waiting for the crowd as they cheered, and here was Steamboat, the unrideable horse.
Yeah.
An amazing animal.
Let's stop you there. 1903. I am trying to remember when they came up and started the times on the rides instead of riding them to a standstill.
Yeah, I
got to look that up.
So 1920s, 30s?
I don't know, but you know, a lot of good horses would have stayed good horses for a long time had they had the time.
Right.
And at those days when they started the times, it was 10 seconds in the Bronx instead of 8.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, if a horse can go really hard for 8 seconds,
yeah,
they're going to last a lot of years.
Oh, absolutely. But that's why I was curious about this particular ride and this horse.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Steamboat was actually born in 1896. So he was, about a six-year-old when this all took place. And he was born on what they called the Foss Ranch, just outside mm-hmm. of Laramie, Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of the Foss
yes.
Ranch?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he ran the range at the Foss Ranch for 3 years until he was sold to the Swan Land and Cattle Company's Two Bar Ranch. Now, does that...
Now, I've heard of the Swan Land and Livestock Company.
Okay.
I don't know for sure too much about it.
And it's called the Two Bar Ranch.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, but at that time, it was one of the largest ranches in Wyoming. So one day, ranch hand, his name was Jimmy Danks, and he was throwing Steamboat down to castrate him. And the horse hit his nose on the ground, breaking it.
Uh-huh.
Well, Danks held Steamboat down as the ranch foreman, a guy named Sam Moore, cut the broken bone out of the horse's nose.
Oh, my.
After that, every time the horse breathed heavily, it sounded just like the whistle on a steamboat.
Really?
And that's
and
where...
And thus the name.
Thus the name of Steamboat.
Holy cow.
So, anyway, part of Danks' duties on the Two Bar was to break all the young horses.
Yeah.
And so Danks' job was to place a bridle and the saddle on the horse and then ride the animal until he stopped bucking and accepted the rider. It required skill, patience, endurance. And for this reason, the job wasn't just given to anybody. Danks was one of the best on the Two Bar Ranch. They didn't just let anybody get on these horses. And Steamboat actually was a gentle horse, easily led with a bridle. But when someone tried to get on him, he became a different animal entirely.
There's a lot of them like that.
Just gentle as can
yeah,
be.
Yeah, rodeo horses that I know, one in particular, and I'll give you a quick story. When my son was born, and Stevens Brothers Rodeos had a horse called Ripcord, and Ripcord was bucking everybody off all over the nation. But you could put my boy, little Jake, on his back, and they could lead him around.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Don't you think a horse knows, though, what's expected of him, in a way?
When business occurs.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, it was a business Steamboat took to very well.
Yeah.
In no time at all, he had a reputation as a top bucker, and he was sold to C.B. Irwin of the Irwin Brothers Wild West Show.
No, I've heard you've talked about that.
I think I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buffalo Bill actually had previously shown an interest in Steamboat for his own Wild West show. And he had actually offered $2,000 for the horse. And that was clear back in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of money. However, when a guy named Cravel Pagus, the man Buffalo Bill sent to Laramie, was unable to ride the horse, he withdrew the offer.
Really?
So his best rider couldn't ride this horse.
And that's quite a name. Cravel Pagus. Never heard that one before.
That's a different one. Well, Irwin brought his show to Cheyenne, Wyoming, calling it the Irwin Brothers Cheyenne Frontier Days Wild West Show. So Frontier Days held in Cheyenne, Wyoming, was becoming a big, huge event. I think it still is a pretty big
Cheyenne
show, yeah.
Oh, huge. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I've never...
If you've never been there, get to Cheyenne.
Okay, that
absolutely.
Sounds like it would be a great time.
Yes, absolutely.
But the annual event actually began on September 23rd, 1897. So one of the oldest rodeos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Greatest show on dirt, along with Calgary.
Yeah. And it began as a way for the ranchers in the area to show off their hands to see what ranches had to offer as far as you know the best riders. The first show opened to a firing of cannons by troops from a nearby fort, followed by shooting rifles, pistols, and even shotguns into the air.
You want to have fun at a rodeo with the stock loading the shoot? Go ahead and shoot your cannons off.
Well, When the event was first founded, the cowboy had to ride, as we talked about, had to ride the horse until the horse came to a standstill, just as would be the case on a ranch. So they tried to keep it as close to what a real ranch would do.
I got to tell you quickly, you know, you mentioned, and I don't want to take your time, but I was doing a rodeo on the coast on the 4th of July about 10, 15 years ago. And somebody, and it was on the 4th of July, somebody with a fireworks crew screwed up badly and torched off some of the fireworks during the bronc riding.
I'll bet that was a show.
It was more interesting than the actual event.
Yeah. Well, and in this case, you know, the rider was scored and a winner was determined by judges. But the early arenas had no chutes. Horses were brought to the center of the arena and saddled by the cowboy who was about to make the ride. And it was here in this arena at Cheyenne Frontier Days that Steamboat earned his reputation as a top bucker. Irwin had the contract with Frontier Days supplying the event with livestock, including Steamboat. And cowboy after cowboy attempted and failed to ride Steamboat, earning him the Worst Bucking Horse of the Year award in both 1907 and 1908.
Wow. And the first time this other guy tried him was 1903.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going a few years here. But it was a title as coveted as the Cowboys' world champion bronc rider to be that horse. So few Cowboys had won that title either in the preliminary or the final rounds, did so on the back of Steamboat. The powerful horse was so successful at sending his riders to the ground that reporters began calling him the Outlaw Horse.
Yep.
Now, Steamboat bucked at the Cheyenne Frontier Days for 11 years, which may have been quite a while for that type of, anyway, until Irwin lost the stock contract. Steamboat died on October 14th, 1914, so he was about 17, 18 years old. And he had to actually be put down by Irwin after he got cut by a wire fence and contracted a blood disease.
Now, help me. I don't want to jump in on you, but didn't they bury him at Cheyenne?
I don't know.
I thought they did.
They could have. But the obituary said in part, quote, "Old Steamboat, the grand old horse of the passing West, is dead. The horse that has nipped in the bud the fondest hopes of many a bronco buster, the horse that has sent fear into the ranks of the veteran busters, is no more."
Yeah.
Now, this is kind of interesting, though, Zeb. In 1936, a guy named Alan True was an artist from Denver, Colorado, and he was commissioned to create the symbol of a bucking horse and cowboy that was to be added to the Wyoming license plate.
Oh, that's it then.
Well, he created a silhouette image of a cowboy on a bucking horse, and it's never been confirmed, but a lot of people believe that silhouette to be Steamboat.
Now, did they have any camera photos of Steamboat?
I don't in the book.
I see.
But, you know, that silhouette, whether it's Steamboat or not, has become the symbol of Wyoming.
I'm trying to think. You said he died in what year? 1936?
This was made in 1936. He died in 1914.
Okay, what was the photography availability at
that time? Well, there was photography.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there could have been a picture, but now that symbol was also placed on the Wyoming State Quarter.
Really?
When the state quarters came out, you know. So anyway, you know, he may or not be the horse on Wyoming's license plate, but Steamboat's remembered in the annals of cowboy history as one of only five horses named to the National Cowboy Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. If I remember correctly, and I could be wrong on this, I think in Oklahoma City at the Cowboy Hall of Fame and then also in Colorado Springs, I think there's a special segment on him.
Oh, okay.
I got to check that out. I think I remember seeing it at Oklahoma City.
Yeah. I mean, just what an amazing animal. What an amazing athlete.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when you talk about athletes. Yeah. But, you know, I read a story one time about at the end of a roundup, they always had a contest to see who was the best riders, you know. And there's one that took place right over here by Rock Creek, not too far from us.
Mm-hmm.
And they came down to two cowboys, so they had to have a runoff. And so the first cowboy, he was on a horse, and it was bucking. And while it was bucking, he swung his leg over the horse's neck and pulled off a spur. Put his leg back, and then he did the same thing with the other spur and continued riding. Okay, so the next guy has to beat this. Well, he got one spur off, and that was it.
I got to tell you, you've attended the Cache County Fair and Rodeo
for years. All my life.
And this is going to go down memory lane for you and me also, because I've had the blessing of announcing rodeos all over the United States and Canada. And one of the greatest rides I ever saw in my life took place in Burley with Kent Cooper.
Really?
And the horse called Hang 'em High.
Oh, is that right?
Big sorrel horse. And remember, he was over 90 points on that ride and went in the record books from the
Cache County
Fair. Kent Cooper,
local rider from Albion.
Yeah, and you said earlier about how great it was to watch them both kind of get in sync. That was a ride that I'll never, ever forget.
Oh, wow. Yep. Well, I've always loved horses. We don't break horses like that anymore.
No.
You know, there's a lot better methods and techniques. I've worked my horses in a round pen, and you know, just don't ride them.
Size-wise, you're perfect for a bronc rider, so why don't you start practicing?
I have come off a few horses, Eb, and I don't want to do it anymore.
It's not fun anymore.
It's not anymore.
No, that ground, it comes up at a high rate of speed, and it says, we're going to hurt you.
And you don't just jump right up.
No.
You lay there in the dirt and start to feel your arms and legs to make sure they're still
You're not
attached.
Like a bad check. You're not going to bounce.
No. No.
Oh, man. God bless you. Great story. I like that story.
Yeah, it was fun.
But, you know, do me a favor, and I want to just check. I thought that they had buried Steamboat at Cheyenne, but just check on that.
Okay, I'll see what I can find.
I appreciate that.
You bet.